Welcome back to The Takeaway. It's Todd Zwillick. And now we turn back to the aftermath of last week's Las Vegas shooting by talking to somebody who lived through a different mass shooting. On January 8th, 2011, a gunman attacked a community outreach event hosted by Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords outside Tucson, Arizona. Pan Simon was shot in the chest by Jared Loughner that day. 13 people were wounded, including the congresswoman, and 6 were killed. Pam recovered physically, but we wanted to hear from her about the mental toll that surviving an attack like that can have. With so many lives taken in mass shootings since that day in 2011, Pam has had a lot of chances to reflect on what it means to live through one. In 2011, Pam Simon was a community outreach coordinator for then-Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords, and she takes us back to that day outside Tucson.
It was a crisp January morning, and we set up And we're getting ready to have another successful Congress in your corner. People had lined up, and Gabby arrived. And as we all know, 10 minutes after she first started talking to constituents, a young man who with severe mental problems raced up, pulled out a gun, and started shooting. And in a matter of just seconds, 13 people were wounded, 6 people lay dead. And I was laying flat down on the pavement, a bullet through my wrist that went straight into my chest. And by some miracle, it did not hit my heart or lungs. And I am here today.
Do you still have memories of the moment of the attack, watching others around you fall and falling to the pavement yourself?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I never lost consciousness. And once I was on the pavement, what I remember is auditory, the sounds. A lot of times people will say I heard a lot of screaming in a situation like this. And what I remember is just the sound of people rushing to help and voices kind of hushed as people rushed out of the Safeway, Good Samaritans, to stop the bleeding. And those Good Samaritans saved lives that day while they waited for first responders to arrive.
Well, in your case, Pam Simon, the physical wounds healed, and that's something I know that you and your family are thankful for. But in the months and years since, and even today, what types of things in your daily life just sort of flood back and remind you of the trauma of that day?
Well, PTSD, which almost anyone who's in a traumatic situation will have some degree of, post-traumatic stress syndrome, is different for everyone, but there are commonalities. One is the startle response stays for a long, long time, if not forever. A car backfiring or a balloon popping, that you get a startle response. And then your mind often plays kind of a recurring movie, which in time with good counseling, you can learn to turn those movies off. So when you hear something like the horrible shooting in Las Vegas, it re-traumatizes. It does flood back your own experience. And the other thing is, you know, to some degree, that we sometimes call it terrible knowledge, what the others are going through. It causes you to step into that situation. And if I had been there, what would I have done? And you find yourself kind of going down a dark path that that it takes some effort to stop.
What have you learned about what an attack of the type that you survived means for the mental health of survivors like you?
We all are on our own timeline. People heal in different ways, just in the same way that people grieve differently. And it is, in a way, a grieving process. I am incredibly grateful that my physical wounds healed over, you know, a 6-7 month period. Still have some chipped ribs and that are sore at times, but everyone, even those that weren't touched by a bullet but saw the person beside them get shot in the head, they will never, ever be the same. Some of the things that were helpful for me, and as I watched my other survivors, holding friends, family, faith groups, community folks around you to begin to let them help you. But that was incredibly helpful to me. And I cannot stress how important it is to get professional help. Even if you just witnessed gun violence, that's a wound. and then not trying to do action immediately if you're not ready for it, but waiting to the time that you are strong enough to step out. But when you are, that made a big difference for me to be able to be part of a change. One of the things that I wanted to mention that has probably been more helpful than anything is the organization Everytown for Gun Safety has a survivor network, and it started with the January 8th survivors and families of the victims, and it has now grown into a survivor network that incorporates hundreds and hundreds of people who have gone through a fellowship program for some training on how to speak out, be part of the solution. As an organization overall, Everytown has grown to almost 3 million strong. But I just want to say that the Survivor Network has connected us with other survivors across the country. We support each other and we spur each other on, and we're going to be a voice, I think, that cannot be stopped.
You have a memento that you keep of that day, January 8th, 2011.
I do. It's sitting right here on the desk beside me. And that's the tiny piece of lead that went through my wrist and then into my chest and sailed through half of my body. And some people would say, doesn't that give you the creeps? And oddly, it went to the FBI for several years, and then they offered to give it back, and I was happy to take it because it is a memento that reminds me every day of how grateful I am to be here. Yesterday, my baby grandson was born in New York City, and to think how close, a quarter of an inch from my heart, that little piece of lead sailed, and how close I came to not being able to meet my grandchildren chokes me up to think about it.
Pam Simon worked for Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords in Arizona and was shot in the 2011 shooting that targeted Gabrielle Giffords outside of Tucson. Pam Simon, thank you for joining us and congratulations on your new grandson.
Thank you, Todd. It is a joy.
Well, we just heard from Pam Simon, a victim of a mass shooting in America. And of course, her story is not unique. The United States has more mass shootings than any other country. And the recent shooting in Las Vegas was the deadliest in modern American history. At least 58 people were killed, around 500 injured, plus hundreds more traumatized. Well, while survivors of mass shootings go through a range of psychological and emotional effects after the event, according to Dr. Carol North, not all of those effects are bad. North is a professor of psychiatry and a disaster mental health expert at UT Southwestern Medical Center in Dallas. She says the trauma of being in a mass shooting can stay with victims for years.
Well, immediately there's a fight or flight response with an incredible adrenaline surge, and that takes a bit of time to settle down. It may take days to weeks for those feelings to subside. People may be very jittery and jumpy or even irritable. They may have intrusive memories flood back to them like a videotape that plays over and over again and won't stop. And these reminders may be very upsetting. They may have trouble concentrating. They may have trouble sleeping. And these feelings tend to reduce quite a bit in the first days, weeks, and over the first month in most people.
How long can they take to resolve entirely?
These experiences can go on for weeks, months, and even years, particularly people who are developing post-traumatic stress disorder or PTSD. They may be unable to face reminders, and they may become avoidant, not want to go out, and their feelings may go numb. And these are the people that we become most concerned about, because PTSD, if it develops, can go on for years or even decades.
Now, you have said that some of the effects of PTSD or some of the trauma of a mass shooting in the aftermath isn't all bad, that it may not all be negative. What did you mean?
Anytime a person goes through something very difficult, very challenging, it's an opportunity to learn things, develop new skills, to grow and develop new perspectives on life and develop gratitude for things that maybe you hadn't thought so much about before.
And how does that manifest itself in your experience treating victims like this?
Well, some people have a sudden new sense of priorities in life, and they suddenly realize what's important, and they spend time with loved ones and think about how much it means to them, and they do the things that are most important to them and let things go that aren't as important. So that's, some people call this post-traumatic growth.
Dr. North, mass shootings are more common in this country than in any other country, but they are relatively rare. Is the type of treatment and assessment for PTSD and the psychological effects that this kind of trauma can bring a standard part of response to a mass shooting? I guess I'm wondering if that needs to be part of standard emergency or second-day response in a disaster like the one we saw in Las Vegas.
In the early days after a disaster, everybody is upset, so it's really hard to assess who is developing a psychiatric disorder or not. And it, according to the diagnostic criteria, it takes 4 weeks or a month before we can diagnose PTSD, and it takes 2 weeks before we can diagnose a new episode of major depressive disorder. So these things take a bit more time as the dust begins to settle to figure out what's going on.
Dr. Carol North, professor of psychiatry at UT Southwestern Medical Center, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.